This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 7. And we're going into the resolution of the missing child. But before we do that, first of all, don't forget to pick new end of session questions. If you haven't done so already, do so now. Let's recap the current state of our first responders. So we got Rodri Lops has the condition Creeping Fear. Mike Hesters has the birds. Sergeant McBride has Winded and Impatient. And Dallas has hobbled. That's right, because you fell on a spike. Cool. And we answered the rescue question for the missing child last time. We did the question being the wilderness location of Josh Knox. And we answered something that was kind of terrifying, but it was still very cool. I believe what we settled on, and feel free to correct me here because I didn't listen back to the other episode, is that the wood devils, these entities that you've been briefly encountering in the forest, are doing kind of like a changeling situation where they like swapped Josh Knox for that like antler scarecrow thing, and that they have taken him, and they are he's like in those like shallow burrows in the sides of like the hill amongst tree roots. Like that's like the like there's like these like burrow tunnels underneath the hills. Okay, gotcha. So that is what we had established that he was taking into one of those. Very fun, very cool. And since you guys rolled a 7 to 9 on that, the unwelcome complication I introduced into your thing was that the scarecrow hasn't hatched yet. And I have elaborated no further. In the last 2 weeks, I've thought extensively on what that means. And oh boy, it's bad. But I'm excited now. So I guess let's kick things off. And did we have any lingering masks or do we, or crowns, or do we go over them already?
I did check and I already did them.
Very good. Excellent. So in that case, I feel like before we dive headfirst into the rescue phase itself, we should have a little scene of first responder roleplay, I think. Because you guys are out in the woods with, might I remind you, Tara, Josh's mom, because she's joined along as well. And Roderick was tending to Dallas's wounds. And you guys have been kind of just chatting about your strategy. So I guess let's just open with some first responder role play in that scene before we kick things off and start approaching the actual resolution itself.
Did we ever get Dallas out of the hole?
Yes, you got it out
Okay,
of the
good. I had to
hole.
check.
You're probably bandaging his wound at the moment or doing whatever you need to do to a pierced thigh, you know?
We'll all pretend that we know what that is. And I'm pointedly not interacting with the mother of this child right now. And I have something to do with my hands. It's Dallas and their whole thing. Like, it's okay, you're gonna be fine.
Okay, just be careful, just be careful. Okay.
Well, I am Varric. Don't worry, you got this. It's fine. Wait, this is. I was gonna say routine. It's not routine, but it is not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, you're getting zoomed.
Hank, come here.
Dallas, you just take it easy there now. You rest
We'll grab
up.
Hank's hand. I'm gonna pull Hank in. Hank, you get me out of these woods right now. We find the kid and we get the fuck out of the woods, okay? All right. If I die in these woods, that's no more money, okay? And the U.S. Forest Services needs money, okay? And I have a lot of money, Hank, and I will give you so much fucking money if you get me
Oh,
the fuck out of these woods.
we think the boy's in one of these burrows. So, I'm looking over. I'm making eye contact with Mike, and I'm not saying anything verbally, but through nonverbal communications, I'm saying, do we need to get him out of here with the mom, or do we need to stay together? And I'm doing that by doing like this.
I think like Mike just makes like a hand gesture of like stay together. There might be more danger in the area, referring to like the pit trap. as Mike is going around like thwacking the ground every so often.
Awesome.
Then I communicate non-verbally with a sigh, which means I was afraid you were going to say that, but you're right.
And while they do this, I'm talking to Dal. I'm like, man, one time I saw someone's leg just clean off. You still got a leg. You're good. Like, it'll stay there.
Oh,
you're good. Okay. It's totally fine. This isn't even big enough for you to really lose. I mean, can you move your toes?
I can move my toes, and I can feel every single muscle inside my leg moving.
Great.
Hey, don't
that's great.
Patronize me, okay?
I'm not patronizing you. I'm just saying, hey, you just seem real worried about this whole thing.
And Roddy?
I
think we got this. Roddy?
Yeah, bud.
Get me out of here, and I'll buy you anything you want. You want a new house? I'll get you a new house. I'll get you a new car. I'll get you a new set of clothes. I'll get you a date with any kind of celebrity you want to. All right? That's guaranteed.
Is that open for everybody, Dallas, or is that just for Roddy specifically?
Fuck it, everybody, all of them. Yes.
So we're gonna go on this. We're gonna go up this ridge together, and we're gonna check out these burrows that we keep coming across. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Knox, if you would stay close law enforcement officer Hester, mm-hmm. stay as close to him as you can. We'll move together up this ridge line.
Here, Tara looks, she is just bone white at this point, mouth agape, just like staring at, she very overwhelmed by every detail that's coming in at this and everything that's happening. Still eyes going to Dallas's wound. Dallas, you hear a little crackle of static in your, you know, clandestine earpiece in your ear. And then you just hear like a voice come in just saying, sir? Sir, do you copy?
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I copy. I copy. I'm right here.
We found Hello? Josh Knox.
You found the kid?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Are you sure you found the kid? You sure that's not just another kid wandering around out there? Because I think we figured out exactly where the kid's at, and I'm...
We found a kid wandering near the facility that you sent the young girl to. He matches the pictures that we were sent. He's very bloody, sir. We haven't checked him for wounds yet, but we're reporting that he has wandered to the facility.
Good. That's good news. That's really good news. Okay. All right. You know what we're gonna do? Fucking mess with me, right? It's just the fucking thing that we're gonna do. Okay, all right. I need you to get Dylan, okay? Radio Dylan, and have Dylan come and pick us up on my location, all right? Dylan.
Copy that, sir. So, yes, it would seem that there is a Josh Knox that is at the location Dallas sent his sister to and the infant as well. Interesting, interesting. So, yes, and also that was very clear that I feel like it became pretty obvious that Dallas wasn't just talking to themselves. It was like responding over uh-huh. some kind of comms unit broad. So uh-huh. I feel like that was, especially as a former military man, I feel like you could definitely glean that from what just happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as they stop talking, I have looked over. If Hank and Mike are even vaguely where I can make eye contact, I yeah. have and just went.
Mike, like, looks like self-assured of like, oh yeah, I knew this was gonna happen.
Mike knew this fucking all. Dallas, who are you talking to?
Who was I talking to? Okay, yeah, it's just talking. You know who I'm fucking talking to. You know exactly who I'm talking to. All right, I'm talking to Chief Roseki, all right?
How the fuck was I supposed to know that you still... Wilderness
boys don't go anywhere without being in contact with each other, all right? Constant communication.
I was not here for whatever that was. I was busy dealing with some other nearly dead guy. And I should probably say that quite nearly dead guy. We're fine. It's fine. Don't worry. So what? Just be honest with us. What's going on? You seemed...
Josh Knox is not in the woods anymore. Josh Knox is at the survey station. Our Bartmoss survey station. Okay?
How far is that from here?
Oh, you know, it's just on the other side of the fucking forest. Back in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense.
Unless there's, like, underground tunnels or something.
Are there underground tunnels, Mike?
There's some cave systems around here, but I didn't think that they would connect that far. Figured, like, they would end up getting a little bit too difficult, especially for a five-year-old.
Yeah. But
I still want to check out, like, the burrows and whatnot, just to make sure, like, if they are connected that deep, that they should be closed off to the public, because, like, that's dangerous. Like, caves killed more people than, like, bears do every year.
Is that true?
And we might want to check and see if there's any signs of these fellows that grabbed Josh. If he's safe back at your institution field station, then that's great. But let's just go ahead and close this, tie this one off, as they say.
I think Tara is going to be like, wait, what is going on? Where is Josh?
I forgot that you were here because I was dealing with my leg situation. Everything is under control. Back at the field station where your other children are, they made notice. Chief Rozecki, head of my security, went ahead and let me know that they have spotted Josh around the area and they're going to make sure that Josh is properly taken care of.
I thought you were just talking about the fact that Josh was out here and I heard something about like tunnels?
Yes,
we're in the middle of a search and rescue, and you get all kinds of bits and pieces of information that one by one they're pretty alarming. But let's head up this ridge.
If Josh is at this station, then I would like to go and get my son and my kids. If they found him, I need to go make sure.
Yes, ma'am. I was about to suggest that since Dallas Bartmoss is a little bit incapacitated, I figured that you and him and them would head over to the station to make sure that your son is all right.
Tara looks at you, Dallas.
Yes, if you're okay with helping me walk along, that's very, very reasonable and safe for a ranger named Mike Hester to suggest that a lame person walks through the forest with nobody else but just one other person. But we can totally make that trek. I am completely feel 100% up to it.
Dallas, I was up here when you made the call into your guys. They're coming to pick you up, aren't they?
Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know. I'll know more when I'm not out of these fucking woods.
I have to ask you, Wes, by the way, are you using something, one of your moves for that extraction, or no? Or is
no.
it just like, okay,
no,
cool.
It was just fluff and gotcha. Everything like that. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's fine. Cool.
Mike doesn't know that.
Yeah,
so.
It's fine. No. So it's coming. It just won't be as mechanically expeditious otherwise, but it's fine.
So you guys just gonna stay here if there's an extraction happening, or because you should know that's not a maybe. Those aren't maybes. Those are yes or no's. You know that.
If Dallas ordered some sort of, I don't know, means of getting out here, then we don't need to walk, I guess. I can. She looks at you, Dallas, and says, "Are they coming?
Are they
your people? The people you said that you were."
Yes, they're coming. You know what? Here, let me just. And Dallas is going to stand up and go, and then is going to grab a stick and say, "We'll get to a proper clearing and we'll get to your son, okay? We'll get to the field station and we'll get to your son, Tara, okay? We'll let these three handle looking around and crawling around in caves and we'll go ahead and we'll get you reunited with your boy, okay?"
Do you want some help, Dad? Are you sure you got this? Like, by yourself?
It's too late for that, Roderick.
What the fuck? What do you mean it's too late for that? We're literally all standing here.
No. The decisions haven't been made. We're all You're all going off exploring, crawling on the underbrush. Me and Mrs. Knox, we are going to make our way back to the field station to where it's warm and there's coffee and there's snacks, and we're going to reunite her with her children, and then we're going to take a photo op and we're going to have a great time, and you're going to go over here picking fucking ticks out of your nether regions. Let's go, Tara.
Right. You guys be careful, radio us if you need anything, or radio your fucking covert wilderness boys.
Dallas and Tara Knox go off in a different direction while the rest of you are heading up the ridge line in search of these burrows. I think we have a cut away to a different scene where we see a young boy, slightly disheveled, but unusually clean, not even muddy. Sprinting down through an underground burrow tunnel, panting, eyes wide with fear, hiding behind a rock that's jutting out as a couple of large brown shapes run past him. And Joshua Knox looks left, looks right, and darts off further down the tunnel in an opposite direction.
Who are you?
The deer path up a spruce knoll. Heading up this fern-covered ridge is what appears to be a frequently used deer path. There are deer hoof prints that are clearly evident in the soil. It winds up and out of sight and links up to the main Bald-Faced Circle trail further down the way. Let's paint the scene. What evidence do you find that other animals besides the deer have used this path?
We see some large rocks off to the side, and there's just mounds and mounds of processed pine cones where these red squirrels have taken pine cones and taken them apart to get their seeds and take them apart. Like, this is like a red squirrel pine cone processing center.
I think that there are some very large bear prints in the dirt, as though like a bear lazily would walk around this path.
There are holes periodically in the trail that are like kind of shallow. They're not like super burrowed. Little gopher holes that are not enough to make you roll your ankle, but enough to annoy you every time if you don't step lightly.
And I think in the the low light of our the sun and the flashes, we see a little glints of very tiny eyes, which are like wolf spiders in their tiny burrows, little hunters that use this path and where all the bugs and everybody's dropped everything to hunt.
As the three of you are kind of slowly climbing up the deer trail, you hear from the top like what sounds like a faint like rustling. And time of day wise, it's getting into like the late afternoon, early evening. But with the dense foliage, it kind of has this like gloom in the woods. The sunlight is not as deeply penetrating in these spots. But so it's not quite sunset, but it's getting a little like gloomier in this part of the forest. You hear some rustling and what sounds like a twig breaking, like movement up at the top of the ridge line. And you hear like this like soft like and then like then you hear this kind of like and there's hard to discern movement, but there is something brown up there that you catch a faint glimpse of, and then a bunch of rocks begin to fall off the top of the ridge line. I need the three of you to make the dangerous move as rocks come falling down the ridgeline directly at you. Roderick, what are you afraid of happening?
I'm afraid of one or all of us getting crushed under these rocks, physically.
Okay. I'm gonna do something unique. I'm gonna give a collective it's worse than that. So I'm gonna hear what Mike, what are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid of the same thing, honestly speaking. I like I don't know what it can get worse.
Sergeant McBride?
I'm afraid that it'll create some kind of like landslide, rock slide, and we'll get separated in the...
It's worse than that. These aren't going to kill you. They're going to incapacitate you, and you will be dragged to a secondary location by the Wood Devils.
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
So, this is going to be... depending on how you approach this narratively, because I guess for me, it feels like it's either going to be probably vitality, honestly, to avoid these. But if you can give me an argument for a different stat, I will hear it out. I will say that Roderick does not have disadvantage on this. Mike doesn't have disadvantage on this. Hank does have disadvantage from, I'd say, being winded and would probably apply to yours. So you can roll with vitality unless you have an argument for a different stat. And don't forget, Roderick, you have an ability that you could use here if you wanted to.
I do have a question about that. Mm-hmm. Would it just be for me?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's you know, it's up to you if you want to use that now or hold on to it later.
I feel like shit's about to get really real. Some will hold on to
okay.
that.
Okay, so go ahead and make your rolls. Let's hear what you all get.
I just rolled already, and I...
What'd you get?
Got a six.
Good to know.
Oh no. Surprisingly, Mike rolled fairly okay. An eight.
Okay.
I got a 4 plus 1, which is a 5.
Cool.
Oh no!
So I'll narrate this real quick. And then we'll decide if there are any crowns that get put on, and we'll resolve how that's going to work in the group sense. But there is this initial shower of stones that falls down and cascades over you guys is but the first of worse things. As Hank suspected, there's actually a bit of like a more of like a landslide as these rocks like slam down the ridge and the trail. They kick up other bits of earth and other rocks that just begin to like shower and pelt down on you guys. Mike, you take a couple of hard hits, mostly avoiding your head, thankfully, just like a couple of them just like battering at your torso. Nothing too large. It fucking hurts. You'll take the condition battered and bruised. But in this kind of you get like knocked off of the trail and you skid down a fair distance, but you're able to kind of like catch your bearings as more dirt and stones just rain down on you. However, Roderick and Hank take the worst of it as they end up fully getting just beamed, and you watch as they collapse down the ridgeline. They go further beneath you and like back down to like the forest floor where you guys were climbing up from. And before that you even really have a chance to react, you watch as like there is a blur of very fast movement as a series of brown smudges race down below to where Hank and Roderick landed and then just began dragging them off through the woods elsewhere. Hank and Roderick will be taken to a secondary location unless crowns are marked. You're not dead, but you'll also have some conditions. I'll let you guys know. So, unless anyone's marking crowns about that, we'll resolve.
I mean, will it kill? What's the most narratively interesting here?
Yeah, so I'll say, like, what do you want to do here?
And I assume it would be like one for each of us. Like, if
it'll have to be each individual. So, mm-hmm. No, it's up to y'all.
Daniel, what you feeling?
Well, here's the problem. The problem is if I take the fail, right, which I'm attempted to do, then I'm full up with conditions and I'll start to have to spend mask anyways.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to, well, I could probably take a condition anyways, even if I spend the mask. So I think I have to take the fail.
Okay. I'll take the fail.
The way it goes, I'm getting a condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to not leave Mike alone to deal with this, I will mark a crown. I think that might be more narratively interesting, so Mike doesn't have to just truck along by himself like the poor sap. We can go save Hank.
Then in that case, Please briefly narrate how Roderick comes to and, using his military training, fights off and like manages to free himself before he would be dragged off.
Okay, so we both hit the bottom of the ridgeline. I'm under less rocks than Hank. And immediately I am up. I'm trying to get out. And I'm about halfway out when I see people is what I register them as, not creatures, because that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. They're people. And I break grips when they grab me, just sort of reflexively. And while they're sort of distracted by another person to drag off, I manage to get up and away. And as I'm up and away, just enough out of their range that they're not interested in me so much as they're interested in Hank that they're dragging off, I watch them drag him God knows where, God knows how fast. I might not even be all the way out of the rocks. Who knows? That's up to Alex.
You're going to upgrade your condition from creeping fear to terrified.
Love that.
As Mike, you're going to take the condition concussed.
Okay.
Hank. I'm going to say Hank. Hank will get concussed. You already had battered and bruised, Mike.
That's
unfair. Yeah, so like, but yeah, Hank will take concussed. So, and then in that case, you just watch Hank get dragged off deeper into the forest. Let's cut over to Dallas Bartmoss and Tara Knox walking towards this clearing. Getting off the trail is a little confounding, Dallas, on account of the fact that the very the dense foliage and scrub trees cut down visibility a fair amount. It's easy to get disoriented out here. I'd like you to make the risky move with your reason to avoid getting lost on your way to a suitable location. You have hobbled, so this will not give you disadvantage because it's not impacting your ability to navigate.
Got it.
But you do have a minus one from reason.
Yes, I do have a minus one for reason. And because of that, I am going to be using my weatherproof watch with all the bells and whistles.
It has the compass, I bet. Yeah.
Yes, it has the compass.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Take advantage then.
Roll three.
What are you afraid of happening here?
I am afraid. I mean, in general, just going to get lost. Just going to get lost.
Cool.
Goddamn. All right. That is a 12 minus 1, 11.
11. Very good. Then in that case, go ahead and just narrate your little travel here through the woods and I guess like what location you arrive at. I will say that if you mark a crown to bump that back to a 12, the extra advantage will be you arrive right as the other people arrive, so they will be here. Otherwise, there will still be like, it'll still take a little bit of time before they come here. In which case, other things might happen, but who knows? I'll leave that up to you. But you get narrative control of the scene.
Okay. I could do the selfish thing and just use the Crown of the Innocent because we haven't used it.
No one's
first.
Used it yet. Yeah.
Nobody's used it yet. And I don't know. These three fuckers aren't using it. They're getting dragged off into the night kicking and screaming. So I might as well use it, right?
Might as well.
Let's just speed this along. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and mark the Crown of the Innocent. Each first responder narrates a flashback to someone they knew as a good kid to bump that up to a 12.
Okay, narrate the scene then.
I think we just see, at first it's kind of quiet, Tara just kind of following along, helping out Dallas. Not once has Dallas kind of like lashed out at her or been like rude or mean to her the entire time. And then I think Dallas is like, this isn't the first time that I've gotten lost, actually. This is not the first time I've gotten lost and injured in the woods. It's kind of a common thing, especially when you work out in the woods and everything. You just kind of have to get used to being hurt. Though I've never had something go through my leg before, but it feels kind of all right.
Mixed Bartmoss?
Yeah.
Could you please shut the fuck up?
That's funny. I'm out here helping you. find your little brat. And I fall in a hole and get my leg impaled. I'm frozen. Now I'm back. And you're telling me to shut the fuck up.
Not everything. Okay. Let me just, if I may, not everything needs to be some sort of weird flex on your daily routines and health habits or whatever the fuck you want to flaunt, okay? Sometimes silence is golden, and if she steps closer to you, if you ever call my boy a brat ever again, she like leans down and presses a thumb right against your wound and like pushes. And she says, go ahead.
I think Dallas just like nostril flares, eyes open wide.
And then she just removes her thumb and is like, the blood is seeping through the bandages that Rod put there. She goes, if you ever call my boy a brat again, I will fucking kill you. Do you understand me, Dallas Bartmoss? You might have money, you might have influence, but out here in these woods, in my fucking town, you don't matter shit to me over my family. Are we clear?
Crystal.
Good.
Mrs. Knox.
Now lean against that rock, get off your foot, and wait for your fucking cavalry to arrive. And she, like, walks away from you.
Leans down, and I think you just see Dallas open up their phone and just start scrolling and going into, like, the just some software that the Bartmoss has, and just starts typing in Tara Knox's name. Let's figure out things that she watches. Let's just, you know, things evil of that nature. Yeah.
And as per your updated move, yes, you can narrate what happens when the cavalry arrives in question, because they show up shortly.
I think it's just a couple of like those dune buggies, just four-wheel drive off-road vehicles just roll up at everything. They hop out, they've got flashlights out and everything. They just pick up Dallas immediately and put them on a stretcher and put them in the back of one of the buggies and everything. And I think you see Chief Rozecki come and be like, Miss Knox, you can come up, go ahead and get back here. And Dallas goes, no, let Miss Knox sit in the front of the buggy. She seems to be feeling very important this evening, so she should enjoy the trip. I need the space. And we'll just stretch out. As you just see Dallas press, just like looking through, it looks like a type of Zillow of buying property, but it's like for rich people, you know, it's this, you know, and just like looks at like a house and just presses buy on it. Cut away.
Mike and Roderick, you climb to the top of the ridge. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I mean, I am... Mark, did you say... Holy shit. Oh, hey, are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm fine. Okay, Hank got fuck. Kidnapped.
Yeah, okay, I wanted to make sure you saw that shit. Oh my god. Did you see which direction they... They're really fucking fast.
They must be in the caves.
We're gonna have to go in caves. I don't know how to do caves.
I know how to do caves. I've had the training. I'm surprised you don't have this. Never mind. Yeah, that's not important.
It's fine.
Oh my god. If they can take out Hank.
Yeah, I know. If they can take out Hank, we're all kind of fucked. But if...
But what about the kid?
I don't know about the kid. Apparently, he's at Dallas's...
Is he?
I don't think he fucking is. I don't know what their team saw, but that doesn't seem...
We need to go with the caves.
You hear a rustling sound, followed by a childish and looking over to the side, you're pretty sure it wasn't there before, but there is one of those antler scarecrows that's just kind of like hanging from a tree branch in the nearby area.
Oh, Jesus.
Stop it now. Don't do that. And like, I'm just pointing at the scarecrow.
Did you just tell that fucking thing to stop it? Does that work?
I don't know. It's the best I can do. Like, if you touch it, it's probably going to curse you or something, yeah, but...
I'm not going to touch that shit. No!
When do you realize that the scarecrow... Actually, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that because it's in the shot itself. It's framed between Roderick and Mike as they're talking, and just slightly out of focus. We see that it begins to, like, blur as if it's going out of focus, but then when the two of you look at it, it's not going out of focus. It's fuzzing. Literally, it is growing a hefty amount of like whitish velvety fuzz that's coming off of the bones, connecting between the antlers and forming the rough shape of a person. I need both of you to make the risky move for facing something fucking scary.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This is going to be with your composure. I will end because Roderick is terrified. You have disadvantage. Mike does not have disadvantage. What are you both afraid of happening if you lose your nerve in the face of this horrifying fuzzy sight?
I'm honestly afraid that it's just gonna turn into Mike. No, not Mike, Hank.
Ooh.
Oh, that's really good. I think Roderick's afraid of if he loses his nerve, his reaction time is going to be bad, and whatever this thing is going to do, it's going to fucking eat us or some shit. And
won't react fast. You know the like when like fruit gets moldy, it's like that white fuzz. Mm-hmm. It's like consider that mixed with deer velvet, like on their antlers. Mm-hmm. That's what's like growing all over this thing and like forming the shape of a person over top the bones. So go ahead and roll.
Okay.
Question, yes. Alex. How far? Is it far from us, or is it close?
I think distance is hard for me. It's not too far, but it's also not like imminently close.
Could we touch it with our hands?
No.
Okay.
Could I shoot it with my high powered rifle.
If that is the argument of like blasting it with your rifle gives you more like confidence in the face of fear, sure. Like we'll just your trigger finger as opposed to giving into fear, sure. You blast it. You just start blasting. You can mark your high powered rifle. Never mark. Yeah, actually, never mind. That's right.
That's why I was asking whether or not it's far or not.
Take UK. Yeah, you can use that.
Oh my god, I got an 8 at my disadvantage. Cool. Thank fuck.
And this is with
composure.
Okay. That's a 10.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna narrate Roderick's complication first. We'll keep it pretty simple. Okay. You're gonna take the condition marked by the wood devils.
Oh shit.
But otherwise, yes, you're able to hold your own and not like lose yourself to the terror of the situation. Mike, narrate what happens when you blast this thing with a gun.
Like, as you were describing, like it's moldy sort of moss or types of things. Like I blast it and it just goes poof in like a sort of a cloud of spores.
Oh, very fun, very cool. And it just dissipates. Very fun. I will say that because you got a 10, I will say that it doesn't fully destroy it, but like, so like, it just like, it just swings there from the tree. It's still there. And like, but it's like, it's not like you complete. Yeah. So it's, but like whatever was happening has seemed to have ceased. So yeah. You guys can take off in the direction of where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
Hank, where do you wake up?
Like in a, like there's roots, mm-hmm. like in his, like there's roots dangling down. And so he's not too, he's like been like stuffed in like, like a earthen, like it's like earthen all around. It's not like rock or anything. And he can't stand up, but he can roll around and see light coming from one direction, and hear things like deeper down in the darkness.
What do you do?
I'm trying to listen to see what those sounds are. So I'm like rolling over, and with the light behind me, where I've been like stuffed here, and I'm looking down into the darkness and trying to listen to see what's down in there.
Yeah, you hear those like whispery kind of like voices similar to the clip, just the hey. And you occasionally hear echoing further deeper, just being like, where? 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 And then there's like a pause, and like this kind of like slight like buzz in the air, like a almost like a faint cicada like buzzing. And then perfectly sounding only in the actual voice alone, it otherwise there's a very weird quality to it. Perfectly with Tara's voice, you hear this thing go, Josh? 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 Josh?
Hank slowly starts to pull something. He checks his belt and stuff with all of his gear on it. And he starts to pull a couple things off his belt as he like starts to use his elbows to crawl towards the voice. And as he crawls in, he can get up to a crouch. And so with one hand, his left hand, he hits the pin light. Mm-hmm. And then with his right hand, he has his, I don't remember what, I think maybe B gave this to me. I think B did give this to me. He has his big ass hunting knife.
Oh, the big ass hunting knife. Yeah.
So he's got that kind of hidden like behind his back as he's like crouched, and like then he hits the pin light.
As the light comes on right in front of you, there is a young boy who like jumps back, and it's Josh Knox.
Oh, You okay? You okay, Josh?
He jumps back. He goes, "How do?" He glares against the light, but then like you seem like similar to the look his sister gave you, like Madison. Like you can see the eyes like go wide, like noticing your uniform, and just goes, "Are you?" Points and then just like runs towards you and like is clinging to you.
Let's see if we can crawl out of here
and starts calling you Uncle Robert, but. You get the idea that he has mistaken you for someone who looks like you.
Let's crawl out of this hole.
I want to go home. I want to go home.
First. You go first. I'm right behind you. You go first. I'm right behind you.
Uncle Robert, who are those stinky people?
You know, back in the day, we used to call them hippies. I don't know what they call them now. let's just keep moving. You crawl first.
Dallas Bartmoss. As the light is shifting to like the blaze orange of the approaching sunset, the buggies arrive outside the facility, and they're already rushing inside. But like one of you, Sergeant Rozecki or Chief Rozecki puts like a hand on your chest and stops you for a moment and says, "Sir, there's something you should see. We didn't want to mention it with the mother around."
I kind of want to have her hear it, you know, might knock some sense into her, the gravity of this situation, but okay, go ahead.
We found this on the roadway outside. He, like, is, like, walking, and you see that there's, like, the asphalt, like, road nearby that, like, winds through the forest area, like, past the chain link fence of your facility. There is just a sizable amount of distance, a just, like, crimson just like drag smear through the road, and bits of what look like bloody white velvety stuff just lying in tatters across the road.
What am I looking at here?
The the people, the science You know, the whatever you call them at this facility. They said
analysts,
thank you. Looks like deer velvet, but way more than a deer would normally shed. We should mention that the kid is covered head to toe in blood.
Where are the other children?
We kept them separated.
Are
and
you,
then you and then you, and then you hear gunfire coming from inside the facility.
Are
and we'll
you
cut te- we'll cut over. Oh no, go ahead. You're gonna say something.
Are you telling me a 10-year-old child did this?
Yeah, we cut away. I told you guys the scarecrow hadn't hatched yet. Mike and Roderick, you guys arrive outside of a series of burrows in the hills beneath roots. It's getting darker and darker, but still light outside.
All right, Mike, do you know how, do we just fucking walk in? Like,
yeah.
Is that how this works? You don't have to do anything?
No, there's nothing special that we have to do. We just have to make sure that every so many paces that we make sure we mark, like, give like a little indentation and then the wall just so like we can find our way back out.
All right, you have the gun. I'll be in charge of that.
Then if you're in charge of that, Roderick, I'd like you to make the risky move plus reason to navigate the burrows. What are you afraid of happening?
Are there multiple entrances?
Yes.
I'm afraid we picked the wrong one.
Yeah, and you're marked by the wood devils and terrified, so you have disadvantage.
Oh my god. Holy fuck. Okay. So many. Okay. That's, you said with reason?
Yeah, reason.
Composure?
Reason.
Okay. I'm not that it's the not the same shit. Okay. That would have been a 12. It's a 7.
7. Hey.
Yeah.
That's better than it was. Better than it was.
Your complication will be the danger you fall into, but you're navigating pretty firmly. You hear a lot as you, the two of you begin to descend deeper into the darkness. There are like, it's like a warren, like an oversized like badger's warren down here, just like many different tunnels and chambers and the roots and rocks poking out at odd angles and strange footprints in the dirt. You hear distant sibilant voices. You hear things that sound close but then aren't. You see shadows moving out of the corner of your eyes and you're navigating as best as you can. First of all, your paths cross. With two figures, you come darting out. One, Sergeant Hank McBride, holding Joshua Knox in his arms.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Hank?
Which way's out? I thought it was there, but we couldn't,
god,
couldn't get
shit,
that way.
You're alive. Oh my god.
Yeah, they seem to be like collecting people, so let's get out of here. Let's don't get collected.
That's when the silence of the tunnels kind of hits you as you're talking. There is now no longer that peripheral sound of movement. And then just out of the nearby darkened tunnels, you just hear this slow hiss that then becomes multiple different voices hissing and vibrating, just this. Wooden stakes begin to be thrown through the darkness at you guys. It is time to now escape. All of you need to roll dangerous moves again to escape. I'm being brutal this time. Let me ask you guys what you're each afraid of happening here.
Starting with who?
Starting with Roderick.
I'm afraid it's going to hit Hank and the kid.
Hank?
I think Hank's afraid it'll hit the kid. One of the stakes will hit the kid.
Mike?
I'm afraid that it's just going to capture us and help us.
It's worse than that. This goes for all three of you. Kill you three, but they're keeping the kid. Kid's unharmed. They have uses for that kid. And Mike, specifically, it's worse than that. Because you're gonna, in your escape, you're gonna run into some stairs. Anyway, so let's roll. So I feel like Roderick, this is gonna be plus your choice. Oh man, I'd love to hear arguments for vitality, composure, or reason, because honestly, it depends on fictionally how you're dealing with the escape for each of you. So I'll let you decide. However, just in general, I think like Roderick has this advantage because he's marked by the Wood Devils.
Yes.
Mike, depending on your argument, you'll have this advantage from being battered and bruised, but that might change. I don't know. However, it seems like to me, Sergeant Hank McBride, you'll have a uniform disadvantage because you have three conditions that could, well, two conditions that could definitely apply here to any of these given situations. So if there are any arguments for which stat you're using and if you're using any items, present those for the table and then we'll roll to see how your escape goes.
I'm going to use my prior.
I was about to say,
I knew I saved it for a reason. Yeah. Now is the time.
Now is the time to bring that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And I'm going to argue, vitality because it's a very physical thing, you know, like, I don't know what direction the stakes are coming from, but I'm just kind of trying to be between the Hank and the, like, I'm hoping Mike is like heading it up and I'm like blocking it, Hank and the
kid. I will note, by the way, I forgot about this, because you are a woofer, you may pick one of your companions here who won't get disadvantaged from their physical conditions, because you do have that. Because if you're tending to them, if you're helping them, then they don't have disadvantage on roles with that. So that means I think you could just pick one of them that you're helping specifically, and that will get rid of their disadvantage as well. You can do that on top of your prior military service as well.
Yeah. Oh, look at all these moves. I think narratively it would make the most sense for me to help Hank because Mike has a gun.
Sure. All right.
So yeah, that's,
I think from his concussion, he's a bit wobbly. So if you could like stabilize him.
All right. Now you can do that. So Hank will not have disadvantage. Mike. Okay. So what are we rolling with, everyone? Vitality for Roderick.
I don't know because I'm still like, I think I'm following it up with everyone and I'm firing like a gun just to do something as cover.
Then I'd say that sounds like composure to me of just like of focusing to lay down like cover fire and then you won't have disadvantage from being battered and bruised. So then, hey, taken care of narratively.
Question.
Answers, maybe.
Because since I'm using my gun, is that negating the disadvantage or is
that will give you advantage if you're using it.
Yeah.
And then that's... Hank.
I'm gonna use vitality and I think I'm gonna keep using the knife to either defensively use the knife
to help. Love it.
Slash and hack or
dice on block. The table, everyone. Let's see what happens.
Jesus Christ, it would have been a 12. I'm rolling so good the first time for the highest. It's so sad.
Seven.
Got a 9 plus. I mean, I've got a 9 plus 1 is 10.
10?
A 12 for Mike. I can't believe it just required me to use a gun. Like,
now you can't stop.
You have to use the gun all the time. Now.
Mike, your complication, no, not complication, sorry, your benefit, your extra advantage, you may clear the birds as a condition because that is so peripheral and it has not been affecting you. You are in the zone, you are focused, that is not affecting you. Roderick, your complication, which I will allow you to all three of you to collectively narrate your escape from the Wood Devil Burrows with Joshua Knox. However, Roderick, you are going to find a mountain clue on your escape. That'll be your complication. It's a reactionary use of those to increase that counter up even more. So I'll go ahead and each of you narrate this escape, and I will tell you what you find, Roderick, at when you're running out.
I will go last because of that.
I think with like Sergeant Hank is like like I think like is being helped up by Roderick as they are running for like and I stand back just a few paces as like there's like spears being tossed to like the side of me and then like we just see like the cave light up with like gunfire.
I feel like a Roddy like hold me up like by my armpit with one arm, and I've got the kid with my other arm, and when we get we're having to stick close to the side of this earthen burrow, and so he uses a knife to like kind of hack at these roots, and I kind of shove the kid to the front through the hole into the outdoors, and then I try to scramble out with I can hear the gunfire behind me.
Yeah, I think I firmly place myself in the middle, with Mike shooting cover fire, Hank in the front with the kid. This actually feels, despite it all, very my wheelhouse. I've been here before because of prior military service. I usually am like, I don't know a lot about the outdoors except for my certifications. This we can do. And so once Hank has shoved this kid out, and I'm kind of like low-key shoving Hank out, and then I'm looking back to make sure Mike gets out with me.
While you're looking back, you spot something on one of the rocks that like juts out of like the tunnel wall, like a boulder, that there has been something like carved into the rock. It looks like a tall human-like figure with antlers coming off of its head and several other figures, which you actually reckon to be the wood devils, you'd assume, just bowing in front of this thing. And then there's a word, you assume, carved at the bottom of it with Greek lettering. I'm gonna post what the lettering is carved beneath
Please
there.
do.
But
Oh,
yes.
fascinating. Oh, man. I hope narratively Roderick would be able to remember that.
Yeah,
We'll
you
see.
probably.
We'll see.
Which just I'll just since for people watching, the Greek letters spell out Karnonos. So, and you escape. You escape. Dallas Bartmoss. Inside the facility, I assume.
Yeah, I think Dallas is going to like has been like wrapped up, still hobbled, but like the wound has been wrapped up even more so, and everything is going to immediately hop out of the buggy and everything, and is making their way with Rezeki to the facility, and just looks back at Terranox and goes, "Wait by the cars."
She's being held back by the Wilderness Boys. Like they can't do anything. But you walk inside, and because we have a line on harm to children, I will just clarify: this is not a child, and it will not look like a child. So I'm going to preface that before we go into the scene here. It's not going to be. It's not going to be a. It's not going to look like a child has been harmed. Because I'm going to just narrate this scene as the resolution for the. This will be the moment that. The episode would like end on dramatically is the Wilderness Boys inside are standing like a kind of like in a semicircle around something on the floor, guns pointed down. And they like look at you, and when they part, you see what may have once looked like Joshua Knox, but something changed. It looks like it's the kid's head began to like sprout open as like antlers, and the face began to grow horrifically like overlong features, like something monstrous that resembled a child at one point but began to shift and change. And one of the chief says, "It was trying to enter the room with Madison. When we stopped it, it started to do that. We put it down, sir."
Interesting. Gonna kneel down and then like just like recording it, looking at it, is gonna take it like one of those space pens. It's gonna start moving it around and everything.
And just kind of one of the wilderness retrievers, like he says, bag it and send it to board.
Please do.
Yes, sir. And let's resolve the missing child as the wilderness boys secure the changeling's body. And the rest of you escape with Joshua Knox to return him safely to his home. Let's take five, and then we'll talk about the Out of the Woods phase. All right, before we start the Out of the Woods phase, let's do the rationalization move, as let's figure out how your National Forest Supervisor, David Umbargo, is going to help weave this one into making some sort of sense. And he's getting progressively harder and harder to justify, but it's more for David's sake. I'd love to hear what some people are thinking about justifying this as.
I think when I'm talking with David about it, I'm just like, hold my head. I'm like, I don't remember a lot, David. I think I fell, like it was a rock slide. And I think it's a file workers comp, but I just hate filling out all the paperwork. So I'm just going to suffer through this one. But I don't really remember. We got the kid out. I remember that. That's it. That's all I got.
Thanks, copping out. Oh, my God.
So David jumps on that and says, concussion.
Concussion.
I think just generally, since the three of us were simply not there at like the face, we didn't see shit in terms of like blood trail, what like a body.
It is very handy that Dallas's wilderness team took away the body, but I guess that's an important detail of like, what was that call about? Sorry, David Embargo was like, well, I heard that you said that they found the kid, but then you didn't actually find the child. I'm a little confused as to the proceedings.
No, there. It was a weird happenstance where one of our analysts, they've been
Dallas, can you hear me? I know we have you on the the call, but David Embargo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No, that was just
can you hear me, Dallas?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, David?
Yeah, no, we can hear you. All right, great. How
yeah,
you doing?
David?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's been dealt with. One of our analysts thought they saw the child, but instead it was actually like a, you know, it's strange. It was like a hog, a wild hog that was.
Sorry, Dallas, yeah, I just want to make sure that you're coming in correctly there. Sorry, did you say a hog?
A hog, a wild hog wearing the child's clothes. It's been dealt with. The analyst has been dealt with as well. Yeah.
Oh, ain't the forest something. All right. Thank you, Mr.
Wild.
Yeah, thanks, Dallas.
Yeah. But we got the kid. Kid's fine. Kid's super fine. You know, he just got scared in the woods.
How are we justifying these wood devils?
Human traffickers. Classic.
There you go.
Classic case.
There you go.
Human trafficking.
Human traffickers wearing really weird Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costumes, I guess you could say.
Yeah, just to keep themselves like, you know,
heavy clothes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's that kind of weird thing. Like if you see TMNT in your child, you're gonna get who doesn't like TMNT, you know?
Yeah,
they've
got the color wrong. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Disgusting. I hate this. But anyway, Hank gets to roll this. Two dice plus two. So yeah,
two plus two. Let's see what we got. Big bucks, no whammies, Mike. Oh,
is it big bucks?
No.
Is it big
some
whammies?
What'd you get?
Whammy.
Got a three and a two.
So plus five. Two. On a miss, no one clears conditions, and the weirdness of this.
No, it's a three and a two plus
okay,
two.
Gotcha. Okay, so, gotcha. So it's okay.
I'm slowly doing the math.
Gotcha. Yeah. So in that case, Dallas and Mike, I believe, will continue to experience the wood devils as a threat, which honestly makes a lot of sense. And so the weirdness will continue to affect you guys.
Mike just perpetually haunted.
But each of you may clear a condition.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can each clear a condition, and then you two. Oh wait, no, there's a tie rule. I forgot about that. Sorry. Who is the Oh, it's Dallas because Dallas has the lowest. No, wait, no, you both. No, your reason's also tied as well. So yeah, fuck it. You two are both fully experiencing the weirdness together because you guys are also tied on the tiebreaker. So therefore, highest sensitivity and lowest reason. Yeah, you guys are going to continue to experience this. So Mike gets the stairs, then you two will share the wood devils as a recurring thing.
So does that mean I need to clear the condition marked by the wood devils
Yes,
since
sir.
they're no longer like a thing?
Yeah, you got it.
You
Look
and
at
I are
that.
connected.
The
You
best
are part of
part.
me forever, Mike Hesters with the Wood Devils. We're tied. Our fate has been woven together into a web, into a wooden deviled web.
Mike and Dallas
Why?
forever.
I don't understand
You
it.
should check the Tumblr. It's wild. All everybody's going about OTP. OTP, Mike and Dallas.
I mean, really, I'm really loving this
Enemies to
enemies to
lovers.
lovers.
Yeah, there it
Ah!
is. See? Yeah. Just wait until we get stuck at the bottom of a ravine together. The subreddit's gonna have a field day.
I can't wait for the fan artists to get a hold of this.
I know, right?
All the fanfic. Yeah,
You're
this
the most
is.
popular tag.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, out of the woods time. Let's introduce the unsolved we're going to be exploring between prompts here, and then I'll hear what everyone's activities are. The unsolved is going to be the routine training exercise, which unlocks a new playbook option should any of our characters fall to their untimely fates or wish to retire. In the spring of 1972, the U.S. National Forest Service introduced a new training manual for fighting fires specifically in the White Mountain National Forest. A team of six foresters from NFS took a bulldozer and other equipment out to cut some new fire breaks to train on this new procedure. The entire team was lost without a trace. Well, credits. Before we jump to that first prompt, I just want to vibe check everyone's individual like intended out of the woods activities, and then we'll. So, Roderick, what are you hoping to focus on during your out of the woods time?
I mean, I think because this last one freaked me out so bad and I still have the condition terrified, I'm probably going to do something that can include my stress reliever studying for advanced certification, especially since I talked to Mike about not having any sort of cave knowledge. I didn't think caves were going to be on the we I didn't think that was a th so th whatever it is, I'm going to be doing something with that.
Yeah. Like I'm finally conditioned free for the first time. So like if you want to like just use me as a just like a, as a like a help you train, because like
We could
apparently
get we
my
have
my
well we haven't gotten Roderick and Hank seen yet, and Hank has two conditions
Oh.
as well. So we could
That's true.
if Hank wanted to do a vulnerable scene.
Oh yeah, no, I've got an idea for one.
Oh hell yeah.
I'm
Well,
into it, whatever it is.
all right, we'll talk about the specific location of that in a moment. Then Mike, you got some alone time, it sounds like, maybe. So like
Yeah.
what does Mike want to do with his out of the woods time? What are we gonna focus on?
Just honestly, I think this is gonna sound a little
Oh,
weird, but
let me relink the document in case anyone needed to re review some of the options. But yeah, there you go.
oh, there's options.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then come back to me.
Okay. Yeah, so and then Dallas, what are you planning to focus on?
I think after all of this, Dallas is feeling kind of, as much as I want to go to the Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation, as much as I feel like that's kind of fitting, I think Dallas is kind of feeling a little bit jaded and a little bit kind of ticked off. And so I think Dallas is going to be spending some time training with local law enforcement and first responders, as well as like doing some wilderness safety and search and rescue procedures and stuff like that, trying to get like trying to nurse this leg back and everything like that. Just feeling kind of burned by this whole situation.
Love that. Okay, I'll pick one of those paint the scenes for you, and then we'll Perfect. Talk about that. What are we thinking about doing for this Hank and Roderick scene? You said you had an idea, Hank.
Yeah, because I've got a physical condition, and since Roddy's our medic, I thought we could do some like pick one of the end of field training exercises, maybe where we like redecorate the search and rescue classroom. So while Roddy's having me decorate the classroom, he could be like checking me out for the concussion
and also studying for advanced certification.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good place for it. Yep.
Actually, I mean, we could just say that the scene is taking place. What if you two just go like spelunking of like you're doing like one of those like guided cave tours of just
For the viewers at home, New Hampshire has no cave systems whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah, there's none because of the formation. But there have been in the last 30 years there have been some strange cave formations that should not be here. So there is one, there's a couple, but in reality, there's not any, but there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so, okay. Well, all the same, maybe it's like some kind of applying to the advanced certification thing, some kind of a training exercise you guys are doing. Let me take a look at the list of options here for just some inspiration.
I could be quizzing Hank on all of his various knowledge.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's
guidance from the veteran.
Well, yeah, there. I like this one. We'll do the training exercise at Plymouth State University's outdoor club, which sounds like a very good like example for this. So we'll do that one when we get to you, Also, Hank, you did Daniel, you did say that redecorating the classroom as well. Man, there's just so many good options.
The classroom because I'm on light duty from having a concussion.
That's true. We'll do the classroom then. Okay. Yeah. So then for Mike, what are you thinking about doing as an out of the woods focus? Chaotic whenever you're ready.
Well, I am going to just be having a night at home. Just because I am really suspicious of Dallas Bart Moss, and like I think, honestly, Mike has no idea what Bart Moss Solutions does as a company.
Very good. Let's jump to the first prompt on the unsolved, and then we'll start to explore these scenes. Daniel, whenever you're ready.
Describe some of the equipment the foresters unloaded as the bulldozer was driven off its trailer. So they probably got some like these orange blocky looking trucks. This is 1972, so they're probably some kind of Ford vehicle, but they're blocky and they're painted orange with the U.S. National Forest Service logo on them. And we see them getting out all these like some really long bladed chainsaws and some axes and things like that, but like some really strange looking tools that are used to like move logs. And so it's two-handed and then it's got like this this like hook with like a ratchet on the other side, so you can use it to like roll logs. And so they're laying all those out, and there's six of them. And so a couple of them are getting the those really big chainsaws. If somebody else is on the bulldozers, and the others are just getting axes and this log moving gear.
Very good. Mike Hesters, describe where Mike lives in or around Plymouth. What would surprise the other characters about your home, and what assumptions would they have that would pan out?
Well, Mike lives by himself. It's he's been doing this a number of years, so like he has like a little home. honestly, I think like the surprise is like he doesn't live further out into the woods. Like it's literally like sort of like that, the last house as you pass by, as you drive
last house on the left, you might say.
Yeah, effectively.
Okay.
And like I think inside, like he has like a very comfortable living arrangement. Like it seems almost kitschy, a little bit on the modern side of like things. Like it's not like this sort of woodsman that you would expect of Mike, but like there's still like on the walls, like there's like a picture, like sort of frame certificates and whatnot, and some pictures of like the sort of the U.S. National Forest Service like annual picture stuff. So like there's still signs like Mike belongs out in the woods. But I think we see the scene of Mike at his computer, which it just like is rapidly like typing things and like trying to like Google like Bart Moss solutions and just trying to figure out what the heck they do. Why do they have so much money? Why are they?
The camera kind of pans away from Mike to see the actual home. I mean, work and maintenance around your house has been largely ignored due to increased hours at work. What are some of the home projects that Mike really needs to attend to soon that we see kind of around here?
I think just in general, like they're like this. It's just like general day-to-day maintenance, like just cleaning the home. Like there is like the dishes have been piled up in the sink. The bathroom could be used like a good scrub down. Like I think there's like just the shower head is like leaking a little bit.
Good to know. Dallas Bart Moss doing some in the field training exercises. You said you were doing it with search and rescue. Let's see. You are meeting with the newly organized Rumney Volunteer Fire Department, doing exercises with them. Describe your pep talk to the volunteers once you realize that they're all pretty nervous about becoming first responders themselves.
Rumney VFD. Hey. Seeing a lot of eager faces, seeing a lot of nervous faces around here. I'm sure I don't need any introduction, but my name is Dallas Bart Moss. I am the CEO and founder of Bart Moss Data Solutions, and I'm here to work with you all to get you up to speed on what it means to be a firefighter. Now, a lot of people say that firefighters are heroes, but you know who's more heroes than firefighters? Volunteer firefighters. You are taking time out of your day, out of your busy schedule, spending time with your family as well as your job to come here and volunteer. And hey, nobody loves Dallas Bart. Nobody loves volunteering more than Dallas Bart Moss. All right, I was voted 5 years in a row GQ's Philanthropist of the Year. I've also been voted five years volunteer.org's Sexiest Volunteer Alive. 6 years in a row. I'll have you know that not only is volunteering good for you, it's good for everybody around you. So let's go ahead. Let's try some gear on, huh? Let's get those those oxygen tanks on. Let's get some helmets on. Let's start doing some quick exercises so you can get used to the gear and everything like that. Who wants to touch the siren? I bet you want to I bet you want to play with that siren. He points to a 72-year-old man that's just sitting in the crowd. He's just like, ah!
And let's cut over to our two other first responders. You have been tasked with redecorating the search and rescue classroom at the White Mountain National Forest headquarters in Campton. Describe what you have chosen to put on the walls as visual aids, as well as any color or decor changes to the drab classroom. And then, do a little additional setup for your vulnerable scene.
I think it's I've got a lot of orange border, like the blaze orange borders for the trim, but then it's all kind of like a drab, probably like government issue gray. But he has gotten like some
I believe that color is actually called gunmetal gray or something like that, but yeah.
he's gotten some like taxidermied animals and furs that we've gotten from like the warden service. And then he's got like some axes and tools to use to move logs up on the wall from the forestry service. And he's got like a big display about boar beetles infesting the woods. That's the kind of things he's putting up.
Yeah. Roderick is following Hank's lead in terms of, what needs to be here, because obviously he assumes Hank knows, not assumes, knows Hank knows more than him about this. And so he's kind of like here to physically help, and he keeps being like, "Hank, sit down, I got this. It's fine. Just tell me where to put it." And between that and quizzing him, sort of pretty obviously quizzing him about how various things are done and things that he realizes he's kind of not as skilled at, especially since we're putting up instructional things. And it definitely at one point he has sort of looked Hank over and been like, "Sit down, let me check you out, you know."
My head stopped ringing like a few days ago, but are you checking my eyes, Roddy?
Yeah, I'm gonna check pupils, make sure they're dilating right. You didn't go to a doctor, did you?
No, I just took some. I just took a couple of Tylenol and then
Oh, geez. All
kind of
right.
slept it off.
Let's go to the next scene real quick. On that note, B, if you'd care to narrate the unsolved now.
A large swath of trees and undergrowth was cut into the forest by midday. How was the forest's anger from this desecration almost tangible? And I think we get a close-up of them cutting that last tree in this swath, this small swath. And we pan up and we see this almost wound in the forest. And it gets weirdly quiet for just a second, and then there's a lot of rustling around this clearing, and birds and other critters are moving into the trees surrounding this clearing. And looking on the Forest Service team with it sounds crazy, and if any of them had survived, they would sound wild to say it, but almost judgment. But they are all stock still, unblinking as they watch them continue to use these machines.
Mike Hesters, you are on bartmossdatasolutions.com or dot. What is the dot?
Dot, it's bartmoss.data.
Dot data, bartmoss.data. There you go. You're on bartmoss.data. I'm doing some research. A little chat window like pops up, like one of those like little like help, it's like a little, like pop-up things, just being like, "Hello and welcome to Bartmoss Data Solutions. My name is Andy and I am your customer aid representative. Is there anything I can help you with today?"
I think I'm just assuming like this is just like a bot or something, so like I just close down
Click
the
X. About 5 seconds later, it pops back up and says, "Unfortunately, we do have a pretty extensive data on our website, and it can be pretty confusing to navigate if it's your first time. Is there anything I can help you with today?"
We'll sit down for a second time.
There's a pause, and third time it says, "It's like, well, sorry that you're." It actually not. It comes up a third time and just says, "All right, well, just let us know if there's anything we can do to help. No pressure." Smiley face, and then it's like signed. The person of the team and all that, And then like a moment later, "I'll stop bothering you." Thumbs up emoji. Have a excellent day.
Suspicious. I write down like on a notepad nearby because I don't want to get this like accidentally. I don't want Dallas to accidentally hack my computer or anything like that.
What a great segue into the thing I want to do with Dallas real quick. We cut away to the training exercise and we see Chief Rzeki, who is dressed down in civilian garb with blue jeans and a kind of like gray t-shirt that just is like, it just says like Plymouth Volunteer Fire. It's like it just like Volunteer Fire Department thing. He just kind of like walks over with his cell phone and just says, "Sir." We got something interesting for you.
Oh, perfect. I love interesting. Did you try the deviled eggs, by the way? It's fantastic.
No, sir. I did not.
Well, you should. What am I looking at here?
Turns the phone to you and says, our boys in the data department have this IP address that might be interesting for you to take a note at. It says you're a associate at that volunteer or at the National Forest, Ranger Hester's, spending a lot of time on our website. His IP address is he's showing like the scroll of like been searching, you know, been searching Dallas, been seems to have been digging into the company for a few days now. Repeated visits, refuses to engage with the chat bots. It is a bot. It confirms that it is a bot. Just showing you all this and just says, seems to be spending a lot of time looking into you, sir.
Rizeki.
Yes, sir.
Can you make sure that the VFD gets all whipped into shape? I think I need to make a visit.
Actually, sir, I'd be happy to, but there is something that you should consider beforehand. We did already do some digging of our own prior to this. He kind of like goes to his phone and like opens up a folder on his like encrypted phone that just says Project Prism. And he like opens it and he shows you something on his phone being like, maybe we should anonymously send this to Mike Hester's to send a message. I'm going to privately send you a message, Wes, of what he's showing you.
Got it.
It says, Mike Hester, and type this to you.
I'm so scared. I don't know what sort of church that that Dallas has on Mike now. I like because Mike's just a guy.
I think you see Dallas go, huh? Oh, even better.
Shall I send that to him, sir?
Yes. Go ahead. Unlisted number.
Of course, sir. Do you still intend to visit, or will this be sufficient?
I'll let him sit on it for a little bit. I think we're due for a conversation anyways.
Of course, sir. Daniel had to step away for a minute, so I actually think let's just throw the recording on pause for a little bit, and if he's able to come back, great, awesome. If not, we'll just resume from here. All right, let's pick up with the second part of the vulnerable move between Roderick and Hank.
I think we see Hank trying to show that, you know, he should probably be off light duty, and he's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and so with Roddy's certification, was it going to be something like spelunking or something like that?
Anything cave related, honestly. No,
this is probably where Hank's like, well, you know, we didn't used to have caves. Like he looks at Roddy and says, for over 150, 200 years, there were no documented cave systems in New Hampshire. And now we've got several of them since like the 1970s. It's really weird geographically.
Yeah, I'm not a cave expert. I don't know shit about that. Is that normal?
I don't. Plate tectonics? I don't know. It's not limestone up here, so we don't get those big cave systems like you find, or sinkholes like you find down in Florida. That's Limestone City down there. But up here, it's all granite.
Man, I probably shouldn't be asking what's normal. I mean, between you and me, I don't think anything is around here.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, seems like it's gotten weirder.
This isn't like your life. This isn't like why. Because I honestly figured this is why you want to retire.
It's part of it, but I remember back, it had to be the late 70s, early 80s. We used to play, our whole neighborhood used to play together. And there's this one kid, he was a good kid. His name was Mark. And we used to play like basketball out in the street. We used to ride bikes. And then one day he just disappeared. He just vanished. And that's the exact moment our moms, you know, started keeping us inside and people started talking about the wood devils. Yeah, that's the that's when it all started.
So I guess it's been around here for a while. I mean, man, are you sure you want to go back on duty right this second with all this shit going on? Like, you have an excuse to take a little break. You need it. It's not even like you're not making excuses.
No, I've been talking with Mike, and I think sometimes it's just us against the whatever's going on here. Thank goodness we have Dalit Bartmoss helping us out.
Thank fuck them and their paramilitary shit.
I thought they were more like an outdoor club type thing.
No, I heard them talking. I don't think they're an outdoor club. Outdoor clubs don't do that.
Like firearm enthusiasts and, you know, Boy Scouts, like the next level up. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the military. That's all you, Roddy.
Yeah, trust me. This is something else.
Let's jump to the next scene on The Unsolved whenever you're ready, Wes.
All right. Nothing paramilitary. Come on. Jesus. Relax, everybody. Come on. The bulldozer engine was suddenly silenced when the rest of the training team looked over at the bulldozer. What did they see? I think as we see this training team just quickly look up, hearing the bulldozer cut quiet. It's sharp. It's now we're back in the quiet woods. They make their way back over to the bulldozer and seeing like this large swath of trees that are being cut away and pushed away, they notice something glowing from the bulldozer tracks and near the engine. One of the training team goes, "Well, what in the hell?" And reaches in to touch the glow and then pulls his hand back as there's a burn on his fingertips and something plops to the ground and scurries away a little bit. And these training team members go, "What the?" And they're like messing around with this guy. And he's like, "No, it burnt my hand. Whatever the hell it was, it burnt the shit out of me." Turn around. They look down, get closer. And they notice it's a little, like, a bit of tunnels in air, like, small little tunnels. And they've disturbed a grouping of fire salamanders. Little lizards, black with yellow and orange and red running through their bodies. But they have a glow to them. And they seem to singe the ground where they crawl through. And one of the training team members looks at it, puts on a glove, and you can hear the hissing against the glove, holds it up and just looks at this thing and goes, "Well, I'll be."
Mike, how's your search going?
God damn it. There's more pop-up windows, and I hate this. Why? For a tech company, they should make their information more easier to
What's the most confounding detail you've managed to find about Bartmoss data solution so far?
The stuff is expensive. Like, the starting price is like easily $1,000. Like, I don't know for what, but they were like, "We will have like a personal team like assist you with like this," and like I'm like, who is buying this? What are they selling?
You hear a as your phone buzzes.
I check my phone.
You have a text message from an unregistered. It's not like it's not like a phone number. It's just like a string of numbers that aren't a phone number. And it just says Mike Hesters.
Oh, they spelled my name right this way. These spam texters, they're doing something right.
The second text comes up from the same number that says, Funny how you can go so often without truly knowing your own identity. Third text pops up. Did you know William A. Farley, a native New Yorker, was 82 when he found out the truth about his origins? And then another text comes up that just says, maybe you should try to understand yourself better before you try to understand the lives of others. And then a file gets sent to you over the phone.
I swear, God, if this corrupts my phone, I'm going to be so mad. And, like, I opened the file.
It's a pre-adoption birth certificate. For you. Same date, same time, as you know your own birth certificate would say. I have a feeling you didn't know you were adopted, because this seems to be classified and sealed by the government. But your last name isn't Hester's. The name on the birth certificate says Michael Waitley.
Excuse me?
And Alex jumping Rubinsky. To the next scene. Dallas, tell us about your scene now.
Sorry, are we... We're still at the VFD.
Yeah, sure. Up to you, man.
I think we see Dallas is like, yes, we love that tenacity. Go ahead. Now make sure that when you are leaping over things, or like you're not trying to be dramatic. This isn't Backdraft or anything like that. You're always going to want to be like centered gravity, moving through, swing your legs through. That's the most important thing. All right, you're getting a little bit hung up there. And then it goes, 1 second, keep it up, everybody. And it's just looking at a copy. You know how sometimes you can get a copy of somebody's phone or a copy of somebody's laptop, not touching it or anything, but pulls out a second smartphone. And it's just looking at what, Mike Hester's is looking at on his phone and just goes, well, I think that's a great last name.
Chief Rizeki walks up and just says, it's a little bit more interesting than you might be assuming, Mix Bartmoss. We've already sent you the files from Project Prism, everything we have on the Waitley family.
Excellent. I'll be sure to take care of those. And like, actually, I'll look at them now. I'll take an early lunch. How does everybody feel about early lunch? We like early lunch around
the 72-year-old's like, oh, you got buffalo chicken wraps?
We will have buffalo chicken wraps. Absolutely. Rizeki, I need to figure out where the fuck to get buffalo chicken wraps around here.
Jersey Mike's?
Okay, excellent. Paulson, put an order for Jersey Mike's.
All right, and let's get back to the vulnerable scene.
I've definitely, like, regardless of Hank trying...
David Umbargo walks in.
Oh, shit. Hey, hi.
Hey, oh, it's looking real nice in here. It's looking good. Hank, you're not going to fall off of that stepladder, are you?
No, I'm feeling pretty fit. And can you see the theme that we're going for here on the different walls?
Theme. Yeah, well, you know how I feel about... themes, Hank. Themes are for middle school essays.
I didn't know you felt that.
Yeah, I'm more of a, you know, practicality kind of meets the... Anyway.
I don't know. That's pretty practical. I mean, I'm learning stuff. Shit.
These maps. Tracks the boar beetles.
It's great.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Looking real nice in here. Well, cheers to you. I'm sure Miss Parton also appreciates the hard work you're putting in. by the way, do you have those mileage logs for me, either of you? I haven't gotten them for this past month.
Yeah, I know I sent those because I remember your administrative assistant, Carol. I remember she said how tidy they were and that we always, search and rescue, we always send them in first.
Okay.
I know that happened.
Hey, just one more thing real quick, just for you two. He pulls a chair out and then like sits in it backwards. just gotta have a chat for a second. Listen, I we're all friends. We work together, co-workers, colleagues. We all serve the forest together. I don't want to be the bad guy for any of us, but I'm really going to need the both of you to step up and start providing the team a bit more leadership. You know, I can't have all, you two of all the people falling apart out there. We already have Mike Hester's got some questionable interactions lately, and I've got some funding for professional development. If you think it would help going to some workshops or some outdoor leadership meetings, just let me know. I want to make sure that we're a nice, tight, uniform squad together. And especially with that, Dallas Bart Moss thing. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, so don't shoot the messenger, but there have been some complaints.
Well, is this professional development? Is it out of state?
No.
Oh. Do I get us? Do we? Would it be like certifications or more like team? What's the what kind?
Well, certifications are pretty expensive, but you know what? I'll see what I can line up for you.
You know, David, they used to send us to Colorado.
Yeah,
I used to go to Colorado every like the end of April, and it was some stellar professional development with those guys out there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's Well, you know, planes got more expensive. Anyway, keep up the good work with the classroom. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. And good luck with the boar beetle theme. Just stop by my office later tomorrow and we can all just like work this out and maybe talk about some workshops and certifications. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like those.
And I turned to Hank like, complaints?
I don't ever go to those after David leaves. I don't ever really go to those. We just go hang out and drink beer, and then get somebody to get somebody gets a packet, and we just fill it out. It's a packet. It's like a packet.
Holy shit! So it's not even. This is like some HR shit. This isn't.
Yeah,
like
you get the name badge. You go in, you register, you get the name badge, and then you get. I used to get Ernie retired. Ernie used to always get us all packets, and then we just fill them out and do the mileage reports.
It doesn't sound like David's going to do that. It sounds like, I mean, I think Mike's doing great. I don't know what the fuck
he's talking
about. Yeah, Mike. Like, I mean,
I kind of thought Mike was kind of like, he kind of went Rambo on us.
He kind of had.
I'm glad he did, because those child traffickers.
Yeah.
I wonder what if he hit any of them.
I mean. I don't think we'd know. I was going to say we'd know, but it doesn't seem like the cops are really going to go check that out.
You want to go check out those burrows?
I mean,
we could try some of your certification training and take a look around.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it. Shit.
Let's jump now to the final prompt in the Unsolved Chaotic.
I think. Looking at these fire salamanders that they are crawling, the ground starts to rumble as the biggest fire salamander of them all, like big enough to eat people, comes crawling out and gives like a big roar, and people are just running away. And, like, we see, like, the ground rumbling more as, like, the multiples of these creatures come rushing out of the tunnels and keep on chasing these foresters, trying to eat them. And I think, like, people are, like, trying to throw things back at them, trying to, like, just get away, but none of it's really working. They didn't bring guns or anything of that nature. They didn't expect this. But I think we see sort of the scene of the right, like the dawn of the next day. The equipment is still there, but the people aren't.
Have our wrap-up scenes here. Mike, go ahead and narrate your wrap-up. Or, to talk about your scene, whatever you want to do.
Mike is, like, texting, like, this mysterious number back of, like, I don't know who
none of your texts go through.
God damn it. You know what? I'm going to, like, go to the Bart Moss Data Solutions and, open up like the one of the chat windows, I imagine. I'm like, could you help me with the tech problem? I received a text from an unknown number. And like I'm explaining this problem of like I can't send text to this number even though I'm receiving text from this number.
The response comes back to me like, oh no, so sorry to hear about your troubles. We'd be more than happy to help. Just make sure you give yourself a proper Data Bartmoss or a Bartmoss Data Solutions account on our website, and you're in luck. For our starter pack of issues, we offer an incredibly robust studio of IT matters, of checking in to help you accomplish exactly what you need. For just the starting cost of $599, you will be set up with our premium pro development starter package. Now, of course, we understand that these days, everyone's got to be on a budget. So you can pay in small installments. And it means listing a bunch of different, like, different packages for data help that you could receive. And it's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
Let's go. Yeah. Anything else? Or no?
No. I don't have anything else to add.
Dallas, what do you want your wrap up to be?
I think we see Dallas has like wrapped up with the VFD and everything like that, and everybody's packing up. And Dallas makes their way over to the 72-year-old man and goes, excuse me, what's your name again?
My name's Carl.
Carl.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Carl Morganson. Pleasure Carl to meet Morganson. You, Mr. Bart Moss. Shakes your hand very noodly.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Is it Mixter? Or
you can say Mixter, that's fine. That's
perfectly
fine.
I went to
fine.
A few Mixters of my own in college.
Excellent. Yes.
We have fun here at the Volunteer Fire Department.
We do. You've been here for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, sir. 50 years.
Would you consider yourself chief?
I'd consider myself, I consider myself old, but the boys around here have a fair amount of respect for me.
Absolutely. That's good. That makes me happy because you're definitely worthy of respect and everything like that. So worthy of respect. How do you feel about an early retirement?
I'd feel mighty good about it, but it's a few years far off, I'm afraid.
Well, how about we say this? Early retirement for you. You've done such a good job just establishing this whole Volunteer Fire Department. The building's beautiful. It has so much history. How about we say for an updated building, just allowing me to come in and update everything like that, and just taking it off your hands, but keeping you on as a senior consultant. How does $250,000 sound to you?
He reaches for his chest slightly.
Yeah, I think that it sounds real good. Oh wow.
You okay there? Yeah.
Yeah, can you call me an ambulance? I think I'm having a heart attack.
Absolutely, we'll call you an ambulance and everything like that. Here, you can go ahead and hold on to this as I write a check and hand it. And Tim, you hold on to that while we wait and everything. And I think the last thing you see is like Dallas is looking around and goes, Carl, you're neighbors with Tara Knox, aren't you?
He's sitting down, yes, sir.
Interesting. And Dallas just smiles as you can hear an ambulance making its way.
All right, Roderick and Hank, you guys have the last scene of the Other Woods phase. Take it away.
We're back up at the Burrows, and it's been like a week or so later, and Hank's got a shotgun because there's some wild hogs up here, so he's got this shotgun, but some heavy duty like lamps, and I think if it's okay, I think Roddy's like all kitted out in like spelunking gear.
Oh yeah. I need to test it all out and learn how to use it. It's part of this cert. You know?
You look good. Let me take a picture.
Oh, geez. All right. I don't.
Let's go. Let's see what we find down in here.
Yeah. Just be careful. This shit's
Well, you show me. I'm just going to follow you. You all show right. me how it's done. Let's see how it looks.
All right. And I think Roderick does everything so by the book. It's almost like ridiculous. And he kind of like, he's talking to Hank the entire time, asking him if he's done this before, you know, what's his experience with it, you know, making sure, kind of making jokes about him not getting shot, you know,
since he's safety's on
with a gun. I'd hope so. Shit. You know,
every machine, such as a firearm can make mistakes. So I'm keeping the barrel pointed away from you the entire time, even though the safety is on.
That's smart. I appreciate that. I'm glad. Glad everyone here knows gun safety. It seems like there's a lot more than I'd expect. And I think as we're doing this, even though Roderick's going through all these motions, he keeps looking down into the dark and expecting movement, expecting something, a light, and thinks back about this really weird carving he saw. And eventually he's looking for it to see if he can see it again. Even if they're not in the same burrow, he doesn't recognize. He can't tell. And eventually looks back to Hank. He's like, you ever seen some really weird old cave carving drawings down here?
The camera turns to Hank. And he's got the flashlight on the rock facing. So you mean like this? And we see on the rock facing a bunch of like hash marks and portals and trees and lizards and like all kinds of strange things like this.
And I think that's probably where it cuts off because.
Perfect. Ah, amazing. Clear any relevant conditions. I feel like, yeah, I mean, a little terrified. It's definitely cleared. You can clear one as well, Hank. Good job. Before we end the out of the woods phase and go to stars and wishes, let's go ahead and do everyone's crowns as a last matter of the out of the woods phase. Everyone has one to do with the crown of innocence of the innocent. So a flashback to someone they knew as a good kid. And then I believe Roderick, you also have one marked. And I think that might be it. So whoever wants to go first, be my guest.
I already did mine and talk about the kid in our neighborhood.
Ah, true, 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 true. Yep.
Wove it in.
Nice, 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 nice.
I'll let someone else go first since I've got two. Please go.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go. I tried to do it, but I got rudely interrupted by Terra Nox. I should probably take the condition enemy, Terra Nox. Yeah, no, I
didn't realize that's what you were doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry about that, bud.
It's okay. No, it made total sense. Absolutely total sense. I think there was once, like a long time ago, there was a, this is like probably back when Dallas was 11. There was a wild little expedition that Dallas went on, as we've kind of learned, with a group of other kids. And most of them were Dallas's friends, but there was one of them that kind of, it's very much like that, think of the Sandlot, the kid from the Sandlot that's like really good at baseball, or how like Stand By Me, there's the one kid that like that Will Wheaton's character looks up to, very much so, as like the embodiment of like, and it is very much that kind of kid of like came from like a not so great home, had a dad that drank too much, and a mom that worked too much, but was always going out and discovering things, and finding cool bugs and looking at cool rocks and everything and having that collection. And there was one time where they were going along behind a waterfall, and Dallas slipped and fell. And it wasn't too long of a fall. It was enough that it like broke Dallas's leg. And most of the kids ran off. They didn't want to get in trouble or anything like that. And Dallas pulled themselves up out of the water on the bank. But that kid, by the name of, let's call him Mickey Turner. Mickey Turner climbed down grabbed Dallas and helped Dallas all the way back home, like helped Dallas splint the leg and everything, and then called 911 and sat with Dallas for a long time. And eventually would end up moving away. Mom would move away from town and everything like that. But there was always kids around and other adults that would call Mickey a bad kid and everything, came from a bad home. But Dallas is like, nah, Mickey's always all right. Mickey's always good. Always good in my book. And that's that.
Mike Hester's, when he was growing up, he was a pretty lonely kid. Even throughout high school, like, he only had like a few friends. I think it just in general, there was just this one girl named Caitlin White, and she was top of her grade. In a variety of sports, just extracurricular out the wazoo, and like she was known as like the good kid, the person who would hang out with like the people who weren't as popular as her, and like she was nice, like everything you could ever want. Mike Hester's knew different. She would only hang out with us because like if it made her look good, like. She never got his name right. It wasn't Mike, it wasn't Michael, it was always Mickey H or Mikey, like the turtle Mikey. And like it drove Mike Hester's up a wall, but even when I ever did complain, nothing would ever get done about it because, well, Caitlin White was the good girl.
So when Roderick was growing up, he has an older brother, Hal. They don't really talk anymore. But when he was little, This guy's about 3 years older than Roderick, and he looked up to him like some sort of living god because he did everything before him, and so he knew how to do it. He learned how to ride a bike before him. He learned how to, he learned how to do everything before him, and he'd teach him because their parents were always too busy. They taught one kid, they taught Hal, you know? Hal, you get on it. You know, even though he's only 3 years older, it's enough. And Hal always sort of guided him as they went through, and Hal was kind of standoffish, kind of came off like a dick. Roderick may or may not take after that. And everybody kind of thought he was kind of an asshole, but Roderick knew better. And he even came to him for like romantic advice, like about his, you know, the high school crushes and shit he had. And Hal was very much an individualist of, you know, you don't need to throw away your life for anyone. You don't need to do just what they want. You need to do what you need to do. You know, don't be changing yourself for someone. Don't be moving away just because they're going to that college. And he internalized that so hard that he actually doesn't have a romantic life now. He's, even though him and Hal don't really talk anymore, they had kind of a weird falling out between Roderick going to the military and coming back. They just sort of stopped talking. Hal kind of disappeared, actually. It was real weird. Just kind of like, so went off doing his own thing. Roderick kind of tries to keep track of him, but he can't really get a hold of him anymore. They don't really talk to their parents anymore. It's a weird sort of family dynamic. And so Roderick is weirdly alone. He actually kind of low-key relates to Mike in that way. If they both knew the other one was so sort of weird, like weirdly isolated, maybe they'd be friends. But That's all. So hopefully I did both at the same time, but no, he doesn't have, his romantic life is null. He's got blinders on. And this connection he's made to the search and rescue team is some of the first genuine connections he's made in years.
And I believe that's everyone. And that's everyone's crowns. Very nice. Well, let's go to stars and wishes then. Oh, but first, let's actually do end of session questions before I forget. Yes. So let's see. Everyone gets two because everyone gets one because you all resolved the rescue. Roderick, did you admit your wilderness skills are lacking due to a mistake?
I admitted I wasn't very good at some of this. I don't think it was due to a mistake. I think it was, I don't know if that would count or not. So I'm not going to necessarily count that.
What was the instance again?
Oh, me saying I don't know shit about caves. I don't know how to do any of this. I don't think that was due to a mistake. I'm not.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know.
Did you share a medical horror story?
I tried to with Dallas.
I noticed that. Yep. You get that one. And did you experience an echo in time?
I don't. You know what? I think it was Daniel who did that for our scene. So I don't know. I don't think I'd count that. That was.
That's Daniel's. Okay. Mike, did you experience an echo in time?
I believe so, because I did reference that the crew who died did not have guns.
Yes. Did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
I would think so, because I knew about caves.
And you also opened fire several times to escape. I feel like that counts as a wilderness skill, right?
Did
you
share your I impressed Roderick.
Yeah. Did you share your insight about White Mountain National Forest?
Yes. Yes. Caves are more dangerous than bears.
Clean slate. Mark them all. Mark y'all four. You got another advance. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hank, did you get an echo in time?
Yeah, the tool's on the wall.
Yep. Did you remind others that the good old days were better? Always.
The professional development.
Did you show younger members of the team that you still got it? I would say that you did with rescuing Josh Knox. I mean, you were the one, they saw you running out and all that. Like, I think you deserve that. And then Dallas, did you get an echo in time?
I don't think so, unless you want to count the end of session with the waiting for an ambulance and everything. Other than, like, waiting in my
was there an ambulance crown. in the was there? I'll give it to you. Yeah.
There was an ambulance at the in the out of woods phase. There's an ambulance in the
Oh, but not with the unsolved?
Not with the unsolved.
Okay, yeah, so it doesn't count.
So, yeah, so, no, yeah.
Did you share your wit or wisdom with the first responders?
Technically, yeah.
Did you...
By cussing them out? No, I didn't share my wisdom.
Did you explain yet again why you love volunteering?
I absolutely did with the volunteer fire department.
You get those two.
Perfect.
Hell yeah. Yeah, the one and the two. Hell yeah.
One and the two.
Sick. Awesome. Awesome. Mike, did you know what you're gonna take for your advance?
Yes, I'm just increasing my stat by one, which is going to be reason. So like
so you're no longer tied.
so I no longer have to like struggle with investigating things as good. Badly.
All right, let's go to stars and wishes, everyone.
Alex, what the fuck? My God.
I had the idea like a few weeks ago, and I was just like, is this too crazy to make Mike Hester's a Waitley? but I'm like, it actually makes perfect sense, and it fits really well.
Yeah, it really does. I don't think Mike knows what a Waitley is.
No, you have no idea what that is. Yeah, you have no idea what that is.
God, this is going to be interesting to bring up with the rest of the group of like, hey, apparently I was adopted.
You know what's really weird is that the Vanished, we added the name Waitley for the Vanished. So the Vanished character could be related to
that's part of why I
feel like Mike's like granddad or dad
because Daniel wrote the Vanish playbook and I was like What if Waitley is a surname option for the Vanished? And he added it. And I was just like, what if Mike's a Waitley? So the Vanished comes up and takes the Waitley surname option. I'm like, they're straight up related. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to like prescribe anything, but I was just like, I'm like, at the very least, I'm like, I want to make Chaotic's character a Waitley because he's a weird little guy and I want to make him a Waitley. But yes, continue.
Also, Dallas Bartmoss, you're so mean. Oh, it's just both to like NPCs, to Mike, like
you had a fucking spike through my leg, and everybody's like, let's pick on Dallas. So Dallas picks back.
I did not make any comments about it. Like, I was like, hey, go back to like the base where it's like safe, like so like you're not like crawling through the things. But like just like vaguely threatening text like from an unknown number, like my God. What is Dallas's end game? I don't know.
What's
I'm scared.
My sister's end game? I'm not scared. I'm interested to find out.
Mike just wants to be good at his job. He's just a guy. Well, kind of.
Let the first Mike Hester without sin throw the first stone.
Roderick, I love the fact that you did not know anything about caves. Of like, we're going in a cave. And it was just a fight for your life. Also, Sergeant Hank getting kidnapped by the devils. Oh my God. Just beautiful, terrible, and whatnot. I'm just very excited to see like where this goes from here.
Yeah, Stars. I mean, I fucking love Dallas's villain arc we keep getting of like, I'm gonna buy Terra Nox's house. I'm gonna like buy a property. I'm gonna ruin this woman's life. But also just like the scene with like you know, bagging the changeling and like the behind the scene, it's really sinister, like more than I was actually expecting it to be, but it's actually really cool. Like seeing how you, and I love the Wilderness Boys. I love getting to introduce them and just in like little interactions. So I love that. Like, I love the way that you just like world build Dallas's reality around them at all times. That was really fun. And also just like the hostility with the rest of the first responders was really enjoyable. Yeah, Hank getting kidnapped and then navigating the tunnels and rescuing Josh, that was really cool. I love that scene. I also just loved his vulnerable move with Roderick, which, by the way, did you guys, I totally forgot to prompt, like there was the whole like ask a question or get a clue thing, so that's on the table for next time, I guess, because we forgot to address that. I mean, yes, naturally I had a lot of fun targeting Chaotic's character today, but in general I just really was amused and tickled by Mike opening fire on things a bunch this session. Especially, I'm going to use a gun as a composure aid because it's going to make me feel better if I shoot it. That was very good. Wishes, we are 3 mountain clues away from the worst night of your lives. Or maybe the second worst, who knows? It'd be like that. And I don't know. I have taken some liberties with like the game, like in like campaign stuff, like the detail about the Greek writing of Karnonos of underneath the carving. That was not in the original mountain clue. I included that for campaign things I want to do, but like I'm really excited to like be incorporating. Because if it now wasn't obvious by the fact that like I've made Mike a Waitley, it's like this is firmly in the CFB Brindleverse, you know. This campaign is the name I have chosen for that carving implies some things, and I'm excited to dive into that. So yeah.
I got so many stars. I stopped keeping up with them. So mine are mainly on the first part. But for Alex, it's a great way to split us up with the changeling, because we didn't, you know, which one's the real Josh Knox. So that was really cool. I have a star here that just says Mike open fires. I have a star here that says Dallas's vindictive nature revealed. You know that, and also the PvP, the player versus player via text and emails. That was really cool between Dallas and Mike. I feel like a star for B for I feel like this is the time, because you had a few opportunities. This was the time that we really got to see Roddy's like prior military service, and we got to really see Roddy working on certifications, which we haven't, but now he's like all in it. Yeah, just so many stars. I really did not want that Terra Nox coming with us, and I knew things were going to end badly for her for coming in, for stepping into our world. Like, she's not going to come unscathed. Wishes, I'm just excited to see what the next rescue is.
Yeah, stars. I'll go stars to Chaotic for making Mike is like a laser focus, a laser sight focused on things. Maybe Mike needs to focus on ranging instead of getting into the data solutions world. You know, just some lane staying needs to happen. But no, don't do that. I love it. I love it. I think it's going to come to a head. And I'm really interested in seeing what comes of it. Fantastic Hank moments of like Hank getting dragged away, but then like going through and finding the kid and stuff like that. Truly the best of us. And B, I love how you play Roddy with like such like earnestness and just like openness to everybody, and it's just like this willingness to see good in everybody and everything. It's actually quite fantastic, and I love seeing it. Truly the heart of the group and everything. Alex, fantastic stuff with the skeleton. I will say, full transparency, the lines for Harmed with Kids I think is maybe mine. It might be others, but I know it's mine, but it might be others. But when it's fake kids, yeah, fuck them up. Yeah. But when it's and I think as I'm getting older, I'm getting away. This is an interesting discussion on how lines and veils shift as I get older. And as I interact more with children, I live right down the street from a middle school and a high school. I say fuck them kids more and more, push them into traffic, have them turn into deer creatures, things of that nature. I saw a movie called When Evil Lurks this year, and I was like, you know what? Maybe kids are evil. Maybe they are like, you know, have a direct line with demonic spawn. Just maybe. Maybe we shouldn't trust them. But no, you handled that perfectly. You navigated that with like having like a lion and a veil involved and everything like that. Navigated it perfectly. So kudos to you for that. Feelings. I feel like we're in a good trajectory where like, because that's another point of Dallas's hidden agenda has been marked. So that means there's two more, I believe. So things can come to a head. So I think we're in a good part.
I think it's
where
three, because
three more. Yeah. Well, yes,
it's
yes,
six
yes,
total,
yes,
right? This was your third total. One.
Yeah. So three. Yes, three. So we're very much into the. I think it was a good like mechanical way of showing narratively that we are in the valley, the very bottom of the valley of where Dallas, and now we need to see if Dallas continues on that just plateaus out on that valley, or if there's going to be an upswing for Dallas. So I hope so. Maybe there might be. Maybe their hand will reach out and be like, "Hey, why are you such a cunt?"
And then
Dallas will be like, "I'm a rich cunt, though."
And I did set something up for you because I'm not sure if you caught it, because I had Chief Rezeki refer to a file called Project Prism, and
Project Prism.
We haven't talked about that whatsoever. But I just name dropped that, and I hope that you latch onto that.
Absolutely will. Absolutely will. Is going to be like diving into this and everything like that. Because I think we're all in really good parts of our narrative arcs that they're all coming together. And I think this game does really well with like all the different phases that you've done, Daniel, is that we're going to see a very interesting, like where characters can go from here. So I'm very excited. That's me.
God, I'm so excited too. I'm going to be echoing what a lot of y'all said because this entire session was delicious. Alex, the changelings, you did so cool with that. That was the coolest way you could have done that. I'm such a sucker for weird shit like that. And you did handle it beautifully, very gracefully, towing that line without ever crossing it and it being this, but still very like creepy. And it didn't feel like you were detracting from the story at all. I Daniel, the way you like, that was so cool, the way you rescued that kid, like immediately, like pin light in hand, knife in hand, gonna fucking put this kid over my shoulder and get him out. That was so cool. It was very cool to get to see Hank really do the thing that makes him kind of a legend in this field, like for him to really display that in such a concrete, dramatic way. And still kind of, you still have that, like, you know, comforting, you know, older guy to kids thing. It's very sweet. I really love that. That was a really lovely sort of combo. Mike is delight. Rambo was so fun. You Ramboed so good. That was delightful. And just also in this, and the fact that you went home and like Googled Dallas Bartmoss, like that's so funny. That's like the best way you could have approached this conflict that is coming to a head between Mike and Dallas, which, oh my God, delicious PvP stuff. It's so underhanded. Roderick has no idea it's going on. And it's really delicious the way you two are handling it, the way Alex, you are sort of like refereeing it and giving them both really fun little tidbits, that texting, but it being private, that's bananas. Oh my God. Dallas, the way that, like the vindictiveness of someone who's very used to getting their way and being able to buy their way into things, and this person just laying into them, which was very fun, Alex. That was a very fun sort of like lovely gift to give Wes and let them just roll with it. And I really loved this thing where you can like drop into this coldness, Wes, with Dallas, and then bring it back up to like, I love volunteering. It's great. Like, and then bag a body with zero concern or remorse. It's really a delicious dichotomy that I'm so excited. I'm excited for these mountain clues. I'm excited for it to bring it to like this, you know, climactic, I guess, worst night of our lives. I'm really excited to see what these next arcs are in this game, because I think Daniel's organized it really interestingly and in how it's going to overlap or combine with the benefactor's plan, because it sounds like we're the same amount of steps away from that and from the next mountain thing, and that is so fun. I don't even know what that means, y'all, but I'm here for it.
Any other stars or wishes? Before we go, a darkened room, the click of a slide projector, the glow visible on Dallas Bartmoss's face as an analyst named Ray Bushwick, I think is his name. He says, and yeah. Yes, sir, that is everything we had on the Whateley family, the documents you requested. As you can see from the presentation, the most recent incident involving a Whateley was in the relatively recent past, in just clicking through pictures. And we never see these. You just see like the light reflecting off of Dallas's face as you're watching the screen. And analyst, your researcher says, last event happened here in New England, resulted in showing picture, and the death of a local named Rosemary Mortimer. Click, click, click. And that is everything we have on the Whateley incidents here in New England, sir. Are there any questions you have for us?
Yeah, can you compile that into a slide deck that just looks like cleaner?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you. Great job, by the way. Excellent stuff.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Fantastic.
So Chief Rezeki walks up to you and just says, "So, next move, sir?" The board's close, but they need some more pushing.
Then push we will. Push we will. Like a swing.
Okay, sir.